Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and I want to welcome you to our weekly pastoral Bible study and prayer. We are excited about what God is doing in our lives, and we know that God is yet on the throne. The Lord is at work. And we are grateful to God that through the power of his word, he communicates with us and shares with us those things that pertain unto life and godliness. We belong to God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so tonight, let us dig in. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to receive the word of God and then to go forth in the word of prayer. Let's look to the Lord tonight as we have our opening prayer to begin before we begin our lesson. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we declare unashamedly that this is the day you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We recognize your sovereignty, and we give you glory and praise for your goodness and mercy endures forever. Thank you for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for accepting us in Christ through the shed blood that he shed for us. He paid the price for our redemption. He took on him our sins and gave us the spirit of grace. And tonight we thank you for the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it is your spirit that abides within us. You promised to never leave us or forsake us. You promised us that we'd have another comforter. Hey, God, Joel prophesied it. Peter declared that it was no mistake, but that this was that which was spoken of the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith the Lord, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Hey, God. And so tonight we thank you for those that are on the line and listening that have the Holy Spirit as they learn how to walk in the power of that spirit, your spirit that abides on the inside. Thank you, Father, for those that are listening that are with us tonight and those that will be listening to the recording that may not have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. But I thank you that their hearts are open and that even now you are dealing with their hearts to bring them to the place of acceptance of your word, that they themselves may ask the question, what must I do to be saved? We thank you tonight for this spiritual thirst and longing for you and more of you. And so tonight, by your spirit, quench the thirst, Lord. Hey, God, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. And we won't forget to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And even right now, we thank you in advance for these and all of the blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Let's jump right in. We know that we are proceeding forward with our lessons concerning the mind of Christ. And we are grateful to God tonight that his power is with us on this line as we continue our lesson on the renewed mind. Continuing our lesson on the renewed mind. Please let me know that you're able to see what's on my screen. Somebody let me know in the chat. Praise the name of God. Let me know if you can see it. Praise the name of God. Amen. Amen. I want to make sure you all can see it, that it's clear. Bless your hearts. Okay. I see it just coming through in the chat. Very good. So this is essentially where we left off last week. Today is Tuesday, September 14th in the year of 2021, and we're going to continue where we left off. We were dealing with the mind of Christ and how to get it. And why this was important is because oftentimes people are told what they need to do, how they need to live, how they should conduct themselves, but not how to actually accomplish it. And so one of the things that the Lord impressed upon my spirit is to help people to understand how to do this, how to live this life. Praise the name of God. Not just to say to do thus and so, but to actually show you through the scriptures how to get it done. That is consistent with the theme that God has placed within our spirit for the ministry for this year. It shall be done in 21. Bless the name of God. And so even in this, God wants you to know how to get it done. And so we talked about the fact of understanding that we have the privilege to have the mind of Christ. And with the mind of Christ, we're able to live the life of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live this life without the Holy Ghost. You can't live the way that God had intended for you to live without the Holy Spirit. Simply put, if that was possible, then Jesus would not have needed to die. If it was possible, then Jesus died for nothing. But the mere fact that Jesus died underscores the truth that we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and we were locked into a spiritual prison that only one person held the key to release us. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And so salvation is the key. And Jesus is the author of salvation. And so we must accept what Christ has done. Even if you don't understand all of the intricacies of it, I mean, how could you possibly ever comprehend the depth of the love of God when there are so many reasons why perhaps you might think that you are not worthy? We were born in sin. And so some of us, you know, we understand that sin disqualifies us. If you do something wrong, there's consequences to be paid. And most of us are mature enough to understand that if we don't listen and we do something that's contrary, that, you know, a spanking might be a part of the experience. We will get corrected. We get chastened. And so sin, the problem with sin is that the wages of sin is death. And so it's a price that's too steep for us to pay. And no matter how much good works we do in benevolence, activities, no matter what kind of benevolence acts we do, none of those things will ever equate to the penalty, the price of the payment of our sins. And so thank God for Jesus. And so when we look at the example of Jesus, his example for us is relevant even as it relates to how to get the renewed mind. How do we get this mind of Christ? And that's simply encapsulated in a principle called the principle of displacement and replacement. What do we mean by displace? We mean to remove it. And in this case, we talk about rebuking the thought in the name of Jesus. We know that there's power in the name of Jesus, and even demons tremble at his name. We know that all things are subject to him, and his name is above every name. And so when we do this, we must do it in Jesus' name. Replacing basically means to put something in place of another, to replace. So to displace means to clear out, and to replace means to fill with something different. And so we displace the negative thought by rebuking it in the name of Jesus, whatever that thought is, and replace it by speaking the word. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10 gives us the practical application of how this plays out. Every time that Jesus was confronted by the devil, and the Bible lets us know in Matthew chapter 4 that he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. Now, the Spirit did not bring the temptation, but the Spirit is what led him to the wilderness. And the omniscience of God knew what was going to be there, but that temptation didn't come from God. That temptation came from the devil. But God took advantage of the devil's plan to give to us an example of how to stand. Isn't God amazing? It's amazing how God will use what the devil meant for evil and turn it around to make it mean something for good. And so this is what we talked about last week. I do need some readers to come up and volunteer. Remember, please, if you're going to volunteer to read, put it in the chat in a way that it goes to everyone so that everyone can see. I just need someone to jump on in, unmute yourself, and read for us Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Can I get a reader to do that right now, please? Come on.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him unto the holy city and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands shall they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, "All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve."
Thank you, J.D. Austin. And so what we see here again is the actual practical application of this displacement and replacement. Interestingly enough, not only do we see that Jesus uses scripture, he uses the word of God every single time the enemy comes at him, but he also, these are verses that come from the book of Deuteronomy. And if you will remember that Deuteronomy was the book that Moses wrote that basically speaks of remembering the things of God, remembering the experiences that Israel had gone through with God and how they had seen the power of God. It was a book of remembrance. They rehearsed the extensive history of God's divine intervention in the lives of the Hebrews. And Moses left this as a reminder for them, very much like how there were stones of remembrance placed in the Red Sea and on the other side of the Jordan after the people of God walked across on dry land. Those stones were to be icons to bring the question up when the children saw it, when the next generation came around. Intentionally placed there to trigger a question. And the question was, what do these stones mean? Most of what was in the people of Israel's lives had a lot of meaning. A lot of things had meaning. And so it wouldn't be far-fetched that this question would be raised when a Hebrew child pass by this way, or one of the children of Israel pass by this way and ask their parents, what does this stone mean? It would give them an opportunity to share the rich history of deliverance that God had allowed the people of Israel to experience. And so what Jesus is doing here is very profound, because he's quoting from a book that's all about remembering. It's all about remembering. Remember what God has done. Remember how God delivered. Remember the power of God. And I think it is very powerful to draw that point out to you so that you'll understand that Jesus was so strategic. Everything he did had such powerful meaning. It was just pregnant with meaning. And when you read the word of God and you do a little studying, you'll see how rich it is. This is why the study of God's word is so life-changing, because the more that you get into it, the more that you dig into it, the more that you see how much of a treasure it really is. And so let us understand, it is important to displace and replace. You need to remember this. You need to make a note of this. You rebuke this in the name of Jesus and replace that evil thought with the word of God. And you keep on doing this. And instead of the devil frustrating your thoughts, you will begin to frustrate the devil's plan and bring God glory as you use this to resist the devil that he might flee from you. This is how you do it. This is how it gets done. And so the mind of Christ, how to do it? Well, again, I rebuke this thought in the name of Jesus and I replace it with this word, for it is written, and we quote appropriate scripture. I want to ask you, this is a little bit of an interactive exercise at this point. So I'm going to ask you to just to follow these instructions, because this is a little bit of an exercise. We're going to use this slide and we're going to identify an area of attack where the verse would be relevant to fight against the evil thought. Again, we're going to use this slide to identify an area of attack where the verse will be relevant. Again, an area of attack where the verse will be relevant. So it's very important that you kind of pay attention and follow along here. So we're going to start with this first one. And bear with me 1 second while I get my marking together. So this is Psalms 125, verse 1. I need somebody to read that and then identify what area of attack would this be a good scripture to quote. So I need a reader, and I need you to tell me under what kind of attack can I do it? So let me do the first one. I'll do the first one as an example. Okay, Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. This would be a very good scripture to use if the devil is trying to introduce doubt that God can't do a thing, that God won't do a thing. Quite the contrary. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. And so when the enemy comes in with the idea of doubt, Satan, I rebuke the spirit of doubt. I rebuke the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus, for it is written, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, that cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Get it? Okay, let's go on to the second one. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. I need a reader and I need somebody to explain. I think that our administrator has to do the unmuting if I'm reading this correctly. So I need you to volunteer in the chat. This is Second Chronicles chapter 20. Okay, here we go, Sister Charisse.
So, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. The area of attack, I believe that it'll be like the spirit of confusion.
Okay, that's good. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The spirit of confusion. Anything else?
It could also be in battling the thoughts in your mind.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we can get out of this is that this can be used for the spirit of impatience.
Okay.
Impatience. For the first clause says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Sometimes we want to take things into our own hands. And the Lord is trying to teach us how to be patient and that he will fight our battles for us. So this is a great scripture when the spirit of impatience is coming upon you. Now, there's a lot of other scriptures about patience, but this is very useful in that area as well. And also to learn how to be still. So instead of being impulsive, driven by emotions, driven by our feelings, it says, set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. So the unfolding of the plan of God for your deliverance is what's talked about here. And we know 2 Chronicles chapter 20 deals with the battle where the people of God were accosted by three warring nations coming on upon them and essentially outnumbering them. And God had to give encouragement to Jehoshaphat, speak to him, to let him know it was going to be all right. And I feel the Holy Ghost on the line right now saying to somebody, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I think Sister Lynette says she'll try. So let's unmute her, please. Thank you, Sister Charisse.
Hello.
Praise Hello. Him, dear. Praise him, dear. Go ahead.
I'm going to try. I made the page bigger, okay?
That's fine. Go ahead.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Right?
Yep. So what is a good area of attack? What area of attack would this verse be relevant for?
I want to tell you. I like guys, and guys like me, and I'm not lusting, but my flesh is just aching, and it's no good, but I can't help it. I'm outside.
It's just hard to hear you, Sister Lynette.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. There was a lot of background noise. Let's try it one more time.
I said, I like guys like me, I'm not lusting, but my flesh is, I'm not lusting, I'm not sinning, but the trash goes both ways, and I have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when the enemy is bringing you, trying to tempt you with lust, sexual sin, and anything that will cause you to use your body in a way that is ungodly, this speaks directly to it. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so it is the reminder that our bodies belong to God. We are not our own. Amen. Very good. Thank you so much, dear. Let's go on to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. I need a reader for that. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Tilly.
Praise the Lord. Mark 11, 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And this is a place where the adversary fights all of us at one time or another, and that's in forgiveness. But we know that we have to forgive in order to be forgiven. So it's something that we do every day. Every day we have to forgive. And sometimes you have to really, really pray and fast and ask the Lord to help you, because sometimes it is difficult. But this is the scripture that you would use.
Very good. Very good. And I think there was a point that Sister Tinley raised that I think I want to underscore, that this is something that may have to be done on a daily basis. You know, especially if the person that you need to forgive is somebody that you see every day or that you see up constantly. It's so important to understand that these weapons of our warfare, it's not something that is a one-time use only. Jesus even said for those that will come after him to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily and follow him. And so this, I like the idea of interjecting that you may have to do this more than one time. And in most cases you will. And it's the discipline of this that will strengthen you. So it is absolutely something that you need to do more than one time. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Sister Tinley. Let's go to our last scripture example. This is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. I need someone for that one, please. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Tell us, read the verse, and tell us where this would be a great scripture to use against an attack from the enemy. Do we have a volunteer? Somebody may be trying, I'm not sure if somebody's trying to get Brother Paul's attention. I don't see any note in the chat. I'll read it. Amen. Go ahead, Dale.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I would probably say that this could apply to areas of anxiety, maybe. Mm-hmm. Could apply to areas where individuals feel like they're being attacked, or they feel like they have things that they are coming up against that are barriers and obstacles. And so here Jesus is telling us that we, being from God, have overcome those obstacles and those things that are coming up against us in that anxiety.
Okay. Amen. Very good. Anxiety. Now, some of you may not have been able to hear him clearly, but Dale spoke about anxiety, you know, feeling overwhelmed, feeling under attack. And the scripture here, where the Apostle John writes to the saints, underscores for them the fact and reminds them, quite honestly, of whose they are. Ye are of God, not just in terms of ownership, but in terms of birth. You have come from God. Ye are of God. When a person talks about, when the scriptures talk about where you are of, where you are of, it's also another way of asking where you are from. And so John is saying, we are from God, we are of God, and have overcome them. And the them are those obstacles, those things to intimidate that spirit of the world. We have overcome them because greater is he that is in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Pointing to the fact not only that we have come from God, but that God abides in us. And so we have not left him. He has birthed us, and we have a inseparable connection as long as we choose to abide. The power of our growth and the effectiveness of that experience is connected with our yieldedness. And just as it might suggest when you use the word yield, that it talks about submitting or surrender, when the Christian is yielded, that's when they're their strongest. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so thank you for your participation in this exercise. And this is exactly what we need to do in order to be effective in the aspect of replacing, displacing and replacing. Now, I want to spend some time going over seven areas of spiritual attack. Seven areas of spiritual attack, because when we talk about the renewed mind, this is now digging a little deeper into it, because we know that there are areas where the enemy will fight us. And so I want to speak to those areas tonight. The first area of attack is your thoughts. I'm going to ask for someone to just volunteer to read this. And I put this in a different translation because you can look at it in the King James Version, but this gives a little extra color to the text in some of these translations. Now, I looked at them and I chose them specifically for the benefit of increased understanding of this verse. So clearly, you should look this up, and you're probably very familiar with these verses in the King James, but may not be as familiar with them in another translation. And because this is a spiritual battle, I'm here trying to teach you how to fight it. It's my purpose and my goal and my joy to teach you how to fight it. So strap on your gloves. It's time to fight. Let's go into this word. Who will be the first? Sister Lowry. Then Sister Tinley. Thank you very much, because we've got seven of them tonight, and I want to get through them if we can. All right, Sister Lowry, please.
2 Corinthians 10:3-6. From the Message. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. The world doesn't fight fear, but we don't live our fight or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tool of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thoughts and emotions and impulse into the structure of lives shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for cleaning the ground of every obstructions and building lives of obedience into maturity.
How profound is that? This is the Message translation of a very familiar text. For the thoughts, for though we walk after the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so I thought this translation was powerful. The world is unprincipled. It's dog eat dog out there. You know, the world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. I think that that's just such a powerful statement. Paul is saying that we do not subscribe to the philosophies of the world. We don't live by their corrupt counsels. We don't live by their misguided philosophies. He says to the contrary, the tools of our trade, I like that. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. It's not to promote ourselves or to manipulate people. We don't use the word of God to promote ourselves or manipulate folks. And anybody that does, that's of the devil. That's of the devil. God's word is not designed to promote you or to manipulate people. And we have seen it, though, that in the church, in the general sense, not in the true church, but in the general sense, in the institution of the church, people have used the word of God to promote their own selves. They've used the word of God to control people. God help. But that's not what the word of God is for. That's not what the tools of our trade is for. The tools of our trade is for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. Demolishing it. It's like smashing it. Like, you know, God's word is a hammer. My God. And his word is a hammer. And the devil better look out. Because when we swing the word, we swing in the hammer. Those of you that are familiar with the Marvel comic books, you know that there was a character named Thor. And Thor had a mighty hammer. And anytime Thor threw that hammer, it would destroy stuff. And it always came back to him. It was made of some special metal. And it was very, very powerful. And the word of God is powerful. And anytime you wield the word of God, demons tremble. And the sword of the spirit, Paul likens the word of God to. It cuts deep. And it's a double-edged sword. It cuts going and it cuts coming. Praise the name of God. Powerful God tools. I like that. Powerful God tools. This is not man tools. And it is powerful. It's capable of smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, and handling loose thoughts and emotions. Come on, somebody. If you want to learn how to live God's word, put the word in your spirit, because it will pull into subjection all those loose thoughts and loose emotions that just drives people crazy. The impulse that is of the world. It's like the heartbeat of the world. And the word of God, when we apply it, it takes everything that is not like God and it turns it, it conforms you to being like God. It's not gonna take sin and use sin to help you be like God. That's the thought of the devil. That's the trick of the enemy, that God will take sin to help you become who you ought to be. The devil is a liar. God does not operate that way. He doesn't use sin to promote you, to develop you. He will use an occasion that the devil meant for bad to teach you how to stand. And there are times when God will just use the idea of suffering, has nothing to do with sin, has nothing to do with your faults or your error or your proclivities. He'll use suffering as a means of teaching us. But God knows how to take everything loose and use it to tighten us up, to strengthen us. And it talks about our tools are ready to at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. This is such a powerful thing. So your thoughts, beloved, you got to understand that when we start using this principle of displacement and replacement, it's using a mighty weapon against the devil. It's a mighty weapon. It's a mighty weapon. You need to put that in your notes. God's word is a mighty weapon. And this is why you need to study to show yourself to prove. Workmen need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's go on. Number two, second area of attack is your emotions. Now, I need a reader for this. I think Sister Tinley was coming up next. Okay. Amen. Okay.
Your emotions, 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, the Amplified Bible. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardness or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound judgment and personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control.
Come on now. Come on, somebody. I don't know how y'all are feeling, but I'm getting excited just listening to this word. And I think that not only listening to it is powerful, but reading it is extra powerful. You don't need to wait until the next verse comes up on the screen. You can put your name in the list already and say, I'll take next, because I want you all to get queued up so we can keep this going. Thank you, Missionary Tinley. Our emotions, there's a lot of negative emotions that are a part of the human experience, and there's not anything you can really do about it. It's a part of the human experience. And so we have to understand how to manage our emotions. Envy, jealousy, hatred, anger, fear, confusion, insecurities. You know, these things will happen. It's a part of this life experience. And one of the areas to be able to bring healing or get healing in your emotions, the Bible talks about the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Operationally, God's love takes out fear. God's love is the answer to insecurity. God's love is the answer to human failure. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And you have to understand that love is God. The healthiest way to control your emotions is to love God and love with the love of God. To love God. And love with the love of God. People who hate others poison their own soul. Love God and love your neighbor, and it will start the healing process. Now, when we talk about loving our neighbors, it doesn't mean that we excuse people for the wrongs, but you've got to release people. Sometimes we are holding on to stuff in our emotions that people aren't even thinking about. And we're the ones sitting there suffering. We're the ones bearing the burden and the pain of this. And they ain't even thinking two bits about you, not two bits about me. And so when I focus on God's love and how much God loves me, you know, truly, when nothing else could help, it's God's love that lifted me. And so no matter what has tried to push me down or who has tried to suppress me or hinder me, God's love is greater. And you know, the scriptures teach us, little children, love you one another. And if you ever need to understand the profound teaching of love, the most profound, one of the most profound expositions on love, is you need to read the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is important for you as a child of God to understand how to navigate successfully in the life of the Holy Spirit. And when our emotions come under attack, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, and sometimes we have the experience of a flood of emotions. Some people have anxiety disorders. And this, you know, we're living in a society where anxiety attacks are almost as common as colds. People are living with such high anxiety, the spirit of fear. And certainly the circumstance of the COVID pandemic is not making it easier for us. It's adding another layer of uncertainty, another layer of questions, and for many people, a layer of fear. And so these life experiences, which we cannot escape, we must learn how to manage them to move forward with God. And in this case, one of the things that you need to understand, God did not give you a spirit of cowardness or to be timid in the face of it. Hallelujah. You can be gentle in circumstances, but there are some circumstances where it requires strength. It requires confidence. It requires that you take a stand. And for this, he's not even depending on you to use your spirit. God has given us the spirit of power. He's given us the spirit of love. He's given us the spirit of sound judgment, personal discipline, the abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind. And when you have a well-balanced mind, then you can have self-control. You can't control yourself until you control your thoughts. Lord, have mercy. And when you bring your thoughts and emotions into check, then you can move forward. When your emotions are all in a twisted up, in a whirlwind, you can't even think straight. You're off balance. Balance comes with the calm of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, God, help us tonight. I feel victory on the line in the name of Jesus. Let's go on. Number three. Seven areas of attack. Number three is your speech, out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 30. A reader for that. Okay, Sister Lynette, let's go.
Hello.
Go ahead, dear.
I'm going to try again. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 and 30 to the Message version, right?
Correct.
Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. And don't take such a gift for granted. Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Very good. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. You got to manage this. You got to take control of this. Say only what helps. Understand that God wants you to use your words, each word a gift. I thought that was just so powerful. Each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Your words can grieve God. Don't break his heart. Your words can break his heart. It can affect him. God has feelings. I know that we know that God is great and God is awesome and God is all powerful. You know, power belongs to God, but God feels, and he can be touched by our feelings. He feels, Oh God, he feels what you feel. He can identify with our feelings because Christ was in all ways tempted like we were, yet without sin. God identifies with us through Christ. Oh God. And so you have to understand, his Holy Spirit is working. It's active inside of you, moving, breathing. And what I love this part in verse 30, is the most intimate part of your life. The Holy Spirit operating in our lives. I mean, that, you know, that kind of closeness, that kind of relationship, when Paul uses a natural example to exemplify the relationship between Christ and the church, he uses a marriage. It is the most intimate relationship that will be experienced in the human experience, legitimate experience that God has ordained for us. God ordained marriage, and Paul used it as an example of the relationship between Christ and the church. And so this aspect of intimacy with God, it speaks of the closeness, how that even, you know, in a marriage relationship, both partners benefit from the other. And of course, you know, there's nothing we can really add to God, but God is making us fit for himself. The benefit we have in the partnership with God is that he's making us fit. Every experience, Lord have mercy. You need to write this down. Every experience with God makes us fit for him. It makes us strong for him. It makes us ready for him, ready to be used by him, and ready when he comes back again. My God, my God. And Paul ends that verse number 30, by saying, don't take such a gift for granted. Your words minister grace. Your words minister the grace of God. It reveals the heart of God. Your words, because God's word is him. When you speak God's word, you reveal God. Oh, my God, my God. This is why you need to speak the word of God in your house. You need to make the word of God a part of your daily vernacular. Because whenever you speak God's word, you release him in the midst. He got to show up where his word is. He's got to show up. You need to speak the word in your house more. You need to speak the word in your day more. You need to speak the word of God. Your speech, you're justified or condemned by what comes out of your mouth. So therefore, you need to take your time and talk. Be slow to speak. Be fast to hear and slow to wrath. You don't want to bring anything out of your mouth that will express doubt, unbelief, fear, none of it. You don't even want to murmur and complain. You need to stop that. Stop the murmuring and stop your complaining, because now that you have the Holy Spirit, sweet water ought to be coming out of your fountain, not bitter. James, in the Epistle of James, says, how can this be? How can one fountain produce both bitter and sweet water? Even in the world, that doesn't make sense. If you went to the water fountain and you were sipping on that water on a hot day, and that nice cold water is satisfying your thirst, and all of a sudden it gets like, it has like a nasty taste or smell to it, oh my God, you jump back, because it's like, I wasn't expecting that. And it's the same thing with what comes out of your mouth. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be speaking words that will make God proud. Oh God. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That's the King James version of this text. And so when you talk the word of God, you talk what God talks. When you talk against the word of God, you talk what the devil talks. Question is, who do you want to sound like? God or the devil? Number four, seven areas of attack. Number four, your habits. And this deals with the issues of bondage. I need a reader for this. And I've got a couple more. We need to cue you up. It's 7:55. I may have to stop with this last one. And this is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, for those that are listening, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. This is a big one, but you need to hear this. All right, Dale, go ahead, son.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 in the Living Bible. Don't you know that those doing such things have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins are washed away, and you are set apart for God, and he has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God have done for you. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said so, if Christ has not said no. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop when I want to. For instance, take the matter of eating. God has given us an appetite for food and stomachs to digest it. But that doesn't mean we should eat more than we need. Don't think of eating as important because someday God will do away with both stomachs and food. But sexual sin is never right. Our bodies were not made for that, but for the Lord. And the Lord wants to fill our bodies with himself.
Thank you, son. Powerful. Powerful, powerful. The Apostle Paul speaks to the people of God at Corinth, and Corinth was some kind of church. Let me tell you, Corinth was some kind of church. And, you know, they had a lot of issues. They were highly anointed. They had the gifts of the Spirit flowing. But anointing doesn't mean accountable. And a lot of times people don't get that. Just because somebody is anointed doesn't mean that they're accountable. And the Apostle Paul was upbraiding Corinth because Corinth was anointed, but they were not accountable. Devilish deception. You must be on guard for that, beloved. You must be on guard for it. Just because you're anointed, that doesn't excuse you from being accountable. That's the spirit that caused Lucifer to rebel against God. He was highly anointed. And in his head, he said, I'm going to set my throne above the throne of God. And you know where that led him. So anointing without accountability is dangerous. The Apostle Paul calls the Corinthians into order. And he says, you know, you need to understand something here. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't play with this. You can, you know, don't be deceived. And then he says, you know, this kind of people that live these kind of lives will not make it. Those that live immoral lives, those that are idol worshipers, and be careful because idols are not just the idols made of stone. Your body can become your idol. A possession can become an idol. Your job can become an idol. Money can become an idol. Your car can become your idol. Some other aspect of your property. Yourself can become an idol. You can treasure people so much that they become an idol to you. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals will have no share in his kingdom. Don't play with this. I want you to understand, because there's so many spirits in the world, you need to know the truth. And the truth is based upon God's word. This is why I want to put it in your spirit, because this is an area of attack. Habits is an area of attack. There was a time when we were thieves and greedy. We were drunk and slanderers and robbers. We were out there doing our own thing, and nobody could tell us anything. We did it because we were grown enough to do it, or we thought we were big enough to do it. And we were out there doing our thing. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, says, yeah, some of y'all were like that. Y'all were just like that. But now your sins are washed away. Now you're set apart for God. Now you're operating not under condemnation and guilt, but acceptance. You have been accepted by God. And, you know, people act different when they find that they've been accepted into a thing. It's just like the students that are enrolling for college. They're putting an application and, you know, they're sitting on pins and needles till they get the letter of acceptance. And the moment they get that letter of acceptance, there's a weight that is lifted up off their shoulder. And sometimes they've got a number of letters of acceptance. And I tell you that it's got to feel good to know that you've been accepted. Come on, somebody. I feel something on this line. It's got to feel good to know that you've been accepted. And I come to tell somebody on this line, I don't care who doesn't like you. I don't care who doesn't stand by you, that God loves you. And through what Christ has done in dying for us on the cross and what the Holy Spirit does in sanctifying us, hallelujah, we are accepted in the beloved because of what Christ has done for us. And Paul said, I can do anything. He says, okay, now, so that's good. You know, we got God on our side. We got Jesus dying for our sins. You know, Jesus rose again from the grave, et cetera, et cetera. And we get happy and rejoice over that. But Paul says, let's pump the brakes here 1 minute. I can do anything I want to as long as Christ has not said no to it. If you are doing something that Christ has said to not do, you need to stop it. And what I'm sharing with you tonight is how you can stop it. I'm not just telling you to stop. I'm showing you how to do it. You got to put the word of God in your spirit. You got to rebuke that demon. You got to plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. The devil respects the blood. Glory to Yahweh. The devil respects the blood. Plead the blood. Call the name of Jesus. But also understand how to use relevant scripture. Paul says here, you know, I can do whatever Christ says I can unless he says no. And again, if he's saying no, stop it. But some of these things aren't good for me. Even some of the things that he does not say no to. This is where spiritual maturity comes in and the ability to learn, to humble yourself, to learn and apply the word of God. Paul says, but some of these things aren't good for me. They're just not good. Even if I am allowed to do them, he understands it's just not good for me. It's not helpful in my spiritual walk. It's not maturing me. It's not grooming me. It's messing me up. And so even if I'm allowed to do them, I will refuse to if I think that they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop them when I want to. Now, this takes maturity. It's going to take discernment. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will expose something that you're doing because you think that you can easily stop it, but you can't. The Holy Ghost knows how to get to you. Paul says, for instance, take the matter of eating. God has given us an appetite for food and stomachs to digest it, but that doesn't mean that we should eat everything that we see. We shouldn't eat more than we need. Some people eat to live. Others live to eat. Don't think of eating as important because someday, you know, Paul says God is going to do away with all of that. There'll come a time when we won't need food. We will live without the need of food. So food is only temporary. We won't need it forever. And then Paul, he shifts gears because he's talking about something that's connected with our nature. It's the appetite. He's talking about an appetite. He led us into it by talking about an appetite for food, which most people will say, oh yeah, you know, I have had occasions where I've eaten too much, or I saw something that I really wanted to eat and I didn't have no business eating it. But now he slips this in because he understands, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, that there are times when we don't just use our bodies in excess for food. We use our bodies inappropriately in sexual sin. And Paul says, whereas with food, you can have it, you can leave it. There's some that's good for you, there's some that's not. When it comes down to sexual sin is never good. It's never right. Your bodies were not made for sexual sin. Your bodies were made to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul talks about this issue of habits. We have not received the spirit of bondage. We have received the spirit of liberty. For the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I just want somebody to put in your notes, the spirit of the Lord is here. When we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we were immediately liberated from sin. The moment you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it came to truth for you. That after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. That very moment, the Spirit of the Lord showed up in you. It liberated you from sin. Now we have to learn how to walk in that liberty so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have to learn how to operate by the Holy Spirit. And that's why this lesson is so important. It's teaching you how to take dominion over these seven areas so that you are not the victim, but that you are the victor. This is not only related to sexual sins. When the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. Youthful lusts can be experienced by older folks. You don't have to be a young person to have youthful lusts. Oh, God, Holy Ghost, help me on this line tonight. And so when we talk about resisting the devil, it's not just as it relates to sexual sins. It includes how we handle everything. Somebody put it down in the notes, everything. Resist the devil in everything. And three areas that the Lord impressed upon my spirit as I was preparing a lesson for this tonight, it includes how we handle our money. It includes how we handle our time. It includes how we handle our talents. The devil will want to mess up how we handle our money, how we handle our time, and how we handle our talents, our gifts, and our abilities, to misdirect them or redirect them away from God. And a lot of times some people will say, you know, the church has done nothing for me. What has the church done for me? I'm going to take my gift out there. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go where somebody appreciates me. The gifts is not to make a name for you. So if somebody pats you on the back or not, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you use the gift that God gave you. Jesus even said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and amongst his own people. So don't, you know, and they stoned Jesus. Jesus fed 5,000 one time, 7,000 another time. He healed multitudes. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Raised a young boy from out of his casket while they were on the funeral procession. Stopped the processional, touched the brier, and raised the boy back up to life. I mean, listen, please. Sometimes we think so much of ourselves that we think that we have to get the applause of people. Somebody has to recognize me. I'm not going where I'm tolerated. I'm not going to stay where I'm being tolerated. I'm going to go where I'm appreciated. Oh, come on. Now, you know, the anointing destroys yokes. Joseph was blessed of God, and God operated in his life when he was in a prison cell. He was in jail for doing the right thing. And in that moment, and through that experience, God used his gifting and gave him favor. When you operate in your gift will make room for you and bring you before great people. It's not what you do. It's not your Facebook post or the flyer that's got your picture on it or an Instagram post or a video. It's what you do for Christ that will last. Lord help me. Let me wind this down. I gotta anchor. We gotta go into prayer. But I want you to understand this, because these are areas where the devil fights people. This, the habits, the speech, the emotions, and the thoughts. This is where the devil fights people. And I'm not playing with the devil, because the devil ain't playing with us. He wants us to sit in isolation. He wants us to sit in fear and intimidation. He wants us to sit in confusion, but the devil is a liar. God has put this word in my spirit to encourage you, to empower you, to help you to know that you can live this thing. You can live this thing. God didn't call you out of bondage into liberty to live bound? No, my friend, you were born free in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of freedom. It's the spirit of liberty. And no matter what the devil tries to perpetrate, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. I declare and decree on this line, I'm talking to a free man. I'm talking to a free woman. I'm talking to a free young person. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Come on and give him a praise and know that the God that you serve is rising up strong inside of you. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These seven areas of attack are seven strongholds that the enemy is trying to perpetrate and to use to bind you up. But tonight, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we speak to that hope that lies within you. We speak to that courage that even might be dormant. We speak to the possibilities on the inside of you. My God, I see it in my spirit. I speak to even the weakness and the bruising and the brokenness. Lord God, help me. I speak to the tears. I speak to the silent suffering. Oh God, I speak to the heaviness. I speak to your spirit. I speak to your soul. My God, my God, my God. I'm gonna turn away now. I got to turn away. We'll pick this up next week if the Lord tarry. We'll go into area number 5. Glory to God. Glory to God. Area number 5, 6, and 7 in the name of Jesus Christ. But I think this is a time to pray. We need some travailing prayer. I'm going to give space for our prayer leaders to come at this time. Prayer leaders over an intercessor for the men, prayer leader and intercessor for our women, prayer leader and intercessor for our youth. In the name of Jesus Christ, God bless you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord God, we come before you right now. In that, we come before you with that adorable name, that name of Jesus. We thank you today, Lord God, for another day, Lord God. We thank you today, Lord, that we were able to assemble here today to get our lesson for tonight and to come before you and to bow down before you in prayer, Lord. We say thank you for opening our eyes. We say thank you for giving us the breath of life. We say thank you for your mercy upon our lives, Lord God. We say thank you tonight, Lord, because you've been so very good to us. You've been so good, Lord. You've been so good. And before we go even further, Lord, we ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for any foul words that came out of our mouth. Anything that came out of our mouth that hurt somebody emotionally, mentally. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us if we've done any, abused anybody, Lord. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, if we committed any violent acts against anyone, Lord God. If you've hit anybody, if you've committed any immoral sexual act, Lord, we ask you to forgive us right now. We ask you to forgive us, Lord, for our thoughts, Lord, those impure thoughts, Lord, those evil thoughts, Lord. We ask you to forgive us today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and cleanse us with the blood that Jesus sacrificed on the cross for us. Cleanse us with that blood that he so freely gave of himself. We cleanse us, Lord. Cleanse our hearts, Lord. Cleanse our hearts that we may worship you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just say thank you today for your goodness, Lord. We say thank you today for your mercy, Lord God. Lord, help us to humble ourselves before your mighty hand. setting a self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt us to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time, that we may cast all our cares upon you, Lord, all our anxieties, all our worries, all of our concerns, once and for all, on you, Lord. Because, Lord, you care for us, Lord, with deepest affection, and you continually watch over us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be sober, to be well-balanced, to be disciplined, to be alert and cautious at all times. Help us understand that the enemy, the devil, that filthy devil, that he prowls around, acting like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But Lord, you tell us to resist him and to be firm in our faith. Resist his attacks, and that we may be rooted in you, established and immovable. That, Lord, that we know that what we're going through, that our brothers and sisters around the world are going through the same thing, and that we don't suffer alone. But Lord, you promise that after we've suffered a little while, that you will impart your grace and your blessings and your favor upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for being sovereign. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. Because nobody can love us like you. Nobody can protect us like you. No one can keep us like you. No one can save us like you. We put all our cares, all our anxieties, all our worries, all our frustrations, all our cares, and be given to you, Lord. Lord, help us in our mind. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. But you tell us that we put on the armor of God, that we be able to stand against the wickedness. Lord, we just say thank you tonight. And we love you, Lord. We praise your holy and your righteous name. Thank you for being so very good in our lives, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. And we continue to put our trust solely in you. We thank you right now. And we give you name all the praise, the honor, and glory, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, Father, you are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we worship and adore you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We call upon you who is able and faithful. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, because you are wonderful, oh, God. You are merciful, oh, God. Oh, dear God, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and for your grace, oh, God. Father, Lord Jesus, even now, dear God, we come before you with thanksgiving. Come before you asking you, dear God, to wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, oh, God, for everything, dear God, that we have done that is not pleasing in your sight. I pray, God, that you would forgive us, oh, God, and have mercy upon us, dear God. Father, Lord Jesus, you are in control, oh God. Help us, dear God, to yield to your spirit, oh God, to help, oh God, so that you will be in control of our lives, oh God. And dear Father, we lift before you every emotion, oh God. We lift it before you, oh God, knowing, dear God, that you are able, dear God, and that you are faithful, oh God, and that you can give, you can have grace, oh God, and have mercy upon us, dear God. We put our emotions in your hand, oh God. We pray, God, that you will grant us, oh God, favor, dear God, and that you would help us, dear God, that we will have the mind that you have, oh God. Father, we can't do it on our own, dear God. Oh God, only if we lay it in your hands, oh God, and allow you to take full and complete control, our emotions, oh God, will be intact with you, oh God. Father, Lord God, forgive us for the times, dear God, when we spoke out of our emotions, when we did things out of our emotions, dear God. We pray, God, that you would forgive us, oh God. Father, oh Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, in our minds. Oh Lord, we lay every woman before you, oh God. And we pray, God, that you would help us in our minds, oh God, in our thoughts, oh God, in our thought process, oh God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you will control our thoughts. Father, Lord God, things that come to our mind, oh God, we pray, God, that you, oh God, would take control. We pray that every contrariness that come to our mind will be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, we lay our thoughts before you. We lay our mind before you. Help us, dear God, to have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That we would glorify you, oh God, in our thoughts, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, every habit that is not like you, oh God, we pray, God, that you would take preeminence, oh God, over our lives and help us, oh God, not to yield to the habits. Oh God, that spirit, oh God, that is help, that is that we are using, dear God, to continue bad habits, oh God, we come against it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord God, we put it all into your hands. Help us, dear God, to develop new and good things in our lives. Help us, dear God, to place your word, oh God, in our hearts, oh God, to study, to show ourselves approved, oh God, unto you, oh Father. Help us, dear God, that Father, that anything that comes contrary to our lives, dear God, that your word, oh God, will come alive in our spirit. Dear Father, dear God, to combat what the enemy is throwing towards us. Father, Lord God, we know, dear God, that this is a battle, oh God. But, oh God, you said to trust in you, oh God. And right now we trust in you. We come against every spirit of confusion. Oh Father, we call peace, oh God, in each and every woman's life. Help us, dear God, hallelujah, to yield to your spirit, oh God. Help us, oh God, to deny the flesh, oh God. And then, oh Father, to allow you to take control. Oh Lord, let your spirit rise up within each and every one of us, oh God. Let you take rule over our spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, that when things come, dear God, that's not of you, Lord Jesus, that we will have our the word of God, oh God, to stop it, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that it will not, oh God, defeat us, oh God, but that, oh Lord Jesus, you will be glorified in our lives. Father, Lord God, we yield to you. We trust you. We believe in your word and know, dear God, that you all things are possible, oh God. Oh, Father, I lay even now every woman, dear God, that may be struggling in any area, oh God. Father, Lord Jesus, oh God, you did it before and you can do it again. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know, dear God, that you are a keeper. We know, dear God, that you are a healer. We know, dear God, that you are a deliverer. We know, dear God, that you are a heart fixer. We know, dear God, that nothing, dear God, that no good thing will you withhold from those that walk uprightly. And, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you, oh, Lord, will take control. You can take control, oh, God, if we allow you to. Father, Lord God, let us have a willing spirit to allow you to direct our lives, to listen to your voice, oh, God, and to obey your word.
Father, Lord Jesus, we cannot do this in the flesh, oh God, but your spirit, oh God, will need to lead us, oh God. And right now, oh God, we yield ourselves to you. We yield our heart to you. We yield our mind to you. Oh Lord Jesus, knowing, dear God, that you're able. For we call upon you, Lord Jesus. We call upon you, Lord Jesus, knowing that this fight is not our fight, oh hallelujah. But oh God, if we put it in your hands, dear God, you will take control. Oh Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We trust and believe in you, hallelujah. Your word is true, hallelujah. And your word never failed us, hallelujah. And your word will never fail us, oh God. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we lay it all into your hands, oh God. Father, Lord God, you know each and every woman by name. You know each and every struggle that anyone may be going through. You know each and every situation in each and every woman's life. And oh God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we lay it before you, Lord Jesus. Have thine own way, oh God. Let us not, oh God, lean to our own understanding, hallelujah. But let us, oh God, trust in you with all of our heart, hallelujah. Not some of our heart, but every single bit of our heart. Help us, dear God, to trust in you. Help us, dear God, to lean upon you, oh Lord. Father, oh God, we pray, God, that you would touch each and every family, oh God. Each and every family that's represented, oh God, who we laid into your hands, oh God, knowing, dear God, that you are faithful. Lord Jesus, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you more than ever before. Hallelujah. For, oh God, this road is, hallelujah, not easy, but you, oh God, has given us the grace, hallelujah, and given us mercy to go forward. Oh Lord, even now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you, every woman on this line will know that we don't have to do it on our own. You will do it. You will help us. You will lead us, hallelujah, if we give it all to you. And oh Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, not my will, dear God, but let thy will be done, oh Father. Father, we call upon you, Savior. We call upon you, Savior, knowing you're able, knowing you're faithful, hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus, right now, hallelujah, I pray that you will stir up, hallelujah. Stir up the gifts that is in each and every woman, hallelujah, that, oh God, that God, that we will be used for your glory and for your honor, Lord Jesus. For you said only what we do for you will last. And even now, in the name of Jesus, help us, dear God, to surrender our minds, surrender our heart, hallelujah, surrender our lives before you. Father, Lord Jesus, right now we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in knowing, dear God, that you will handle it, that you will take care of it, and that we don't have to do it on our own, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Have your way, oh God. Oh, Lord, we come against every desire to do the things that's not of you. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus. And we pray, dear God, that your will be done. Father, Lord Jesus, help us, dear God, to have that mind to do right. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. For, oh Lord Jesus, we trust you. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Have mercy, oh God. Have mercy, oh God, hallelujah. Strength from on Zion, hallelujah. Strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord. We believe in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have mercy, oh God. Oh Lord, we thank you right now, Lord Jesus. Have your way right now, oh God. Oh Lord, we trust you, oh God. Have your way, Lord Jesus. For you are wonderful, Lord Jesus. And we can't do it on our own, dear God. But oh God, unless you lead us, hallelujah. Oh Lord, you are worthy. Hallelujah. 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 You are worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Destroy the yokes of bondage, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Have your way, God. And we thank you, oh God. And we trust you and believe in your word, oh God, for you are true, oh God. And we thank you even now, dear God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
God, we come before you with a clear mind and heart. We thank you, God, for this day and allowing us to wake up this morning. God, God, cover everyone that is under the sound of my voice. I thank you, God, for the word that Bishop Michael has given us just now. Continue to cover us and watch us and guide us through everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you for this incredible night as we have heard your most incredible word. We thank you for the heartfelt prayers that were prayed over our men, our women, and our young people. Tonight we stand as an army of one, one in the Holy Spirit, one family. Under God, undivided, one hope, one praise, one victory. We anaraboshanda. Hey God, while the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they are mighty through you to the pulling down of strongholds. We come against the spirit of insecurity. We come against the spirit of fear. We come against the spirit of bondage. We come against the spirit of confusion. Oh God, bring peace by your spirit. Bring a calm by your spirit. Bring understanding by your spirit. Bring revelation by your spirit. Lord God, we know that the Holy Ghost makes a difference, and we are grateful tonight for the difference that the Holy Ghost is making even now. We open ourselves to be blessed through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, even bringing the word, your word, to life. Thank you for revelation that comes through the preaching and the teaching of your word in anointing. Lord, I thank you for the revelation that has been received tonight, for the knowledge that has been poured out tonight, for what you have put in our hearts tonight, how that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And while we go through these challenges, while we go through these battles, we know that you are the God of the hills as well as the God of the valley. Whether we're on a high place or whether we're in a low place, there is no place where you're not God. You're God in the midst of us. Oh God, you're God in the dark places. You're God in the places that are brilliant with light. You're God when things are clear, and you're God when things are not clear. And we bless your name. We hold fast to you, Father, so that no matter where we find ourselves, we know we are yet connected to you. We are the branches and you are the vine, and we got to stay connected. And so tonight I pray over every person under the sound of my voice that they will embrace your word of truth, that they will be wise in the things of God, and that this wisdom would spill over into every area of their lives. For you are the God that knows all things. You just don't teach us about scripture. You teach us about everything. You teach us about relationships. You teach us about education. You teach us about families. You teach us about loved ones. You teach us about handling sickness and death and dying. You teach us about everything we need when it's rainy outside, when it's hot outside. Oh God, we can declare, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we commit these precious souls into your hand. We ask your blessings to be ever upon their lives as they hold fast to the profession of their faith without wavering, knowing that you are faithful who hath promised, and he that has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now bless your people, strengthen them in your word, as we lift our hands and declare unto you, now unto him that is able to keep us from fall and present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, beloved. Hold on to what you've learned. Hold on to what you've learned. Hold on to what you've learned. In Jesus' name, God bless.